This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, these effers are back in the news again. Is anyone surprised? It's too much true crime going on in my actual city. These people live here. Ran into them at a restaurant not that long ago. And I regret holding the door. There was a phone call on March 17th, 2026, that a father in Arkansas had probably been dreading making for years. He'd learn what allegedly had happened to his daughter, his 9-year-old daughter. And anytime you bring up the words 9-year-old daughter and the Duggars in one sentence, you know where this is going to go. During a family vacation in Panama City Beach, Florida, back in 2020, and instead of going straight to a lawyer, he picked up the phone and confronted the man responsible directly. Who's the man allegedly responsible? Joseph Duggar. He didn't deny it. He admitted it to the father. And because a Tawny Town police detective was quietly on the line the entire time, he admitted it again, twice, on the record. According to the arrest affidavit released by the Bay County Sheriff's Office, Joseph Garrett Duggar allegedly harmed a young girl on multiple occasions over the course of that vacation. He allegedly asked the 9-year-old girl, one of the Duggars, uber Jesus-y, oh my gosh, they feel the spirit, they know the way, they have the light, they have the only way in the light because Jim Bob says so, and when Jim Bob's your dad, and this, I mean, this is the... I hate these people. I hope you do too. Little dipshit Duggar here allegedly asked the 9-year-old to sit on his lap repeatedly. He sat beside her on a couch. He allegedly covered them both with a blanket. What allegedly happened under that blanket is documented in the affidavit and is the basis for the serious charges he now faces. This allegedly happened more than once. At some point, according to investigators, he apologized and the incidents reportedly stopped because that's how it works with the Duggars, remember? You just say you're sorry and it's a youthful indiscretion. Oh, wait, he's 30-some years old with a 9-year-old. Remember when Joshy, it was a youthful indiscretion? It's looking more like a predatory pattern of behavior that... you got in your hands there, Jim Bob, with your little boys, your little angels. Wonder where they learned this shit. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just saying, I think we should start looking. I think more people might start talking. The girl told no one for years. She is now 14. On March 18th of 2026, Joseph Garrett Duggar, seventh of Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar's 19 children, husband of Kendra Coldwell, father of four kids all under the age of 8, was booked into the Washington County Detention Center in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He was 25 years old when this allegedly happened. He had been married for 3 years. He already had children of his own. His mugshot was released hours later. Neutral expression, you know, the messy hair, dark gray t-shirt, kind of that smug. I didn't do anything wrong. I atoned for it. But... isn't this how this works? I say I'm sorry and everything just goes away. You shiny, happy mother. I tell you what. this Duggar lucked out again that the dad didn't just murder him, because that's probably what I would have done. Or there'd be a few limbs missing off of a Duggar when he's found in a ditch, still somewhat alive. Another Duggar, another child, another arrest. And you know, and here's the thing. Jim Bob, dad to these vicious little monsters, he campaigned on being pro death penalty for child predators. I say it's time to follow what dad says. Jim Bob, you were right all along. You're right. Death to people who do this shit. I've been saying it forever. I actually agree with you on this. Let's kill your kids. Let's round up your two sons who clearly have problems, allegedly, with touching children, and let's just get rid of them off the planet. Let's make it biblical. Let's turn it into like a what word am I looking for here? Let's turn it into some sort of a biblical story. Let's make it a parable, you know? And then you can write about it and you can start your own other religion or something and people will follow you. You can have the Book of Duggar where the father looks down at the sins of their children and says, "No more. No more. My loins hath created this monster into the world. And thou shalt be taken from the planet." Right? Something like that. No, I'm not actually insisting that we go and kill the Duggars. Saying I wouldn't be disappointed if someone in prison decided to execute a certain plan that might be similar. But I'm just saying, you know, this is a campaign thing that he campaigned on. It is actually in Florida. Oh, wait, the charges are in Florida. In Florida, that's actually on the books. Now, does what he did meet that criteria? We'll be examining that in the coming weeks. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, my gosh. It actually maybe could happen by the state itself saying no more. And by, you know, Jim Bob's own belief system, what he's stood behind in the past, allegedly, of being pro, you know, getting rid of these people off of the planet. Well, you got plenty right there in your own fold. Let's start clearing house, shall we? Another Duggar, another child, another arrest. And here's a question that sits at the center of all this, the one nobody in that family seems capable of answering. How many times does the same thing have to happen before it stops being a tragedy and starts being a pattern? So obvious that you'd have to be deliberately looking away not to see it. More so like a family tradition. To understand what you're looking at with this family, you have to understand what built them. Because it wasn't just religion, it was a specific structured, deliberately controlled version of religion designed, whether intentionally or not, to make absolutely certain that whatever happened inside the house stayed inside the house. And we're going to be doing a large exposure piece on this group in the coming weeks. So press subscribe and buckle up. Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar are devoted followers of the Institute of Basic Life Principles, the IBLP, a non-denominational fundamentalist Christian organization founded in 1961 by another predator named Bill Gothard. The IBLP operates on what it calls the umbrella of protection. It's exactly what it sounds like, a hierarchy. God at the top protecting the ruling husbands who protect and rule over their wives, who protect and rule over their children. Women are expected to submit to their husbands instantly and cheerfully. Children submit to parents. Everyone submits to the authority above them all the time, without question. Outside influence is corrupting. Television, secular music, Barbie dolls, which one former IBLP member recalls being described as harlots. Winnie the Pooh, which another member remembered being banned because everyone Eeyore glorified depression. Oh, Eeyore. Damn Eeyore. The Duggars were not casual members of this organization. They were its most famous advertisement. Jim, Bob, and Michelle were regular speakers at the IBLP's biannual family conferences. Researchers who studied the movement have described the Duggar Show as a recruiting tool, a way to normalize and spread a belief system to millions of viewers who thought they were just watching a wholesome family from Arkansas count their kids and go on road trips. The brand was built on one message: our way is God's way. Our family is proof. But here is the part of the IBLP doctrine that matters most for the story. Reporting concerns to outside authorities is not just discouraged. Within its theology, it's disobedient. And when it's disobedient in a cult or a religion, let's call it what it is, it's a fucking cult. When it's disobedient, then you're not doing something wrong, even though somebody did something wrong to you and you're reporting it. No. We're going to make the predator the victim because you're reporting on them, and our religion that we made up and pull out of our ass says that that's wrong. See how these people just kind of flip the script, and everybody inside's like none the wiser. It's what they grew up with. No, they're supposed to handle all this stuff on their own on the inside in the name of God. Stepping outside the umbrella of male authority to contact law enforcement means breaking the divine chain of command. It means, in their worldview, defying God. The theology itself functions as a serial wound. And it encapsulates whatever happens inside their home. So those serial wounds that keep happening, they can't, you know, no one's ever going to know about that. Victims don't report because they've been taught from birth that speaking outside the family is the greater sin. And Jim Bob didn't only control this family spiritually. According to Jill Duggar's memoir, Counting the Cost, New York Times bestseller she published in 23, he controlled them financially as well. Her husband, Derek, was the first person to ask to see the TLC contract, the same contract Jill had signed on the eve of her own wedding. Before she had been given a chance to read it, Jim Bob had controlled all earnings for more than a decade of network television. The children performed on camera. Jim Bob kept the money, allegedly. When Derek and Jill pushed back and demanded to be properly compensated for their years of work on the show, Jim Bob reportedly sent Jill an email with a warning buried inside it. If she attacked the family, meaning basically told the truth of her life, her inheritance would be lowered significantly. Well, Jim Bob, I got something for you. I'm going to guess by the time you kick it, there ain't going to be much left after all the legal fees. Because I kind of got a feeling that the problems with your children go far deeper than just your children. Don't know what, don't know who, don't know where. It's probably a road we should start going down. Figure out. I mean, wouldn't you want to figure out too, Jim Bob? If you have two of your sons now have been accused of doing these things, found guilty, one of them. I mean, there's, when you have these sort of problems in your family, you want to get to the root of it, Jim. Bob? Jiminy Bob? Jim Bobby Bob? You want to get to the root of the problem, don't you? So the problem doesn't repeat itself. Where did he learn this? Where did he get off thinking this was appropriate? You got a pattern going on with the kids. Something happened somewhere. Who and what and when? I don't know. But we should probably find out. Just in case that person might be out there still with children or grandchildren, acting like an authority figure in a church where everyone has to listen to him because that's the way it's structured. And if that one person who's the authority figure of the church can't be questioned and nobody can go outside to report any sort of wrongdoing, I wonder where this all originates. I'm going to say it goes beyond the Duggars. Because it does. But there is a chain. And it's high time every rung of that chain is exposed. If you've had an interaction with this family, or really an interaction with the church that they belong to, maybe not even this family directly, let us know. Little private message. We'll hear your story. We won't run with it or put it on the air or anything like that without talking first, but without a doubt. But we're going to start doing a little digging. So if you got anything to share, now is high time. And I'm not accusing any member of the Duggar family, other than these two that already have been accused, one tried. The other, you know, the accusations are there. He's admitted to them. Not accusing anybody else of doing anything. I'm saying it's probably time to figure out why this is all going on. That's all. Take us where the evidence goes. I would think, you know, that'd be the way to do it, wouldn't it? Oh, actually, according to their religion, if the, you know, God incarnate father says stop, he'll handle it, then it's all, you know, just stop everything. People subscribe to this shit today. I mean, there are hundreds of families, probably thousands, that subscribe to this religion to this day. They're like, this is working great. Until your kids grow up and write tell-all books. People are so fucking stupid. According to her memoir, he itemized every dollar he had ever spent supporting her. You know, like you do as a parent. I'm gonna itemize my support of you as being your parent and raising you. And told her to stop asking to be paid for her own labor. He called the show a ministry. He ran it like a corporation. And he held the family bank account over his own adult children's head as leverage when they asked questions he didn't want to answer. That's not a family. That's a machine. And like any machine, it was built to protect something. And that something was never the children. Now, to the blueprint, because Joseph Duggar did not invent this playbook, he grew up watching it work. In March of 2002, Jim Bob Duggar learned that his oldest son, Josh, then 14 years old, had been behaving inappropriately with female members of the family while they slept. He did not call the police. He met with church elders. According to a police report later obtained by In Touch Weekly through a Freedom of Information Act request, those elders agreed that Josh needed to be put in a treatment program. Jim Bob's version of treatment was to send Josh away to a family friend in Little Rock who ran a home remodeling business. Touched your sisters? Go hang some drywall. Manual labor. That was the intervention for a teenager who had been causing serious harm to the girls in his own home. Good job, Jim Bob. In March of 2003, more incidents came to light, more victims, including, according to that same police report, his sister, who was approximately 5 years old at the time. Eventually, Jim Bob took Josh to speak with an Arkansas state trooper. Come on. Let's go talk to the guy with the big hat. Not to file a formal report, but for what the record describes as a very stern talk. That trooper, Joseph Hutchins, did not report the situation to the Arkansas Child Abuse Hotline as required by law, because he's a fucking idiot. He took no official action. Hutchins would later be arrested himself, convicted on serious charges involving illegal contact depicting minors, and sentenced to 56 years in prison. Jim Bob's buddy! It's like, is anyone shocked by this shit? How is anyone shocked by this family at any point anymore? How? Jim Bob's taken his little spawn of Rosemary's Baby, little spawn of Satan, to go talk to the trooper that ends up being a predator himself for a stern talk. These people, they fly in flocks. The man Jim Bob chose to handle his son's behavior had his own deeply troubling history. Wasn't until 2006, after producers of the Oprah Winfrey Show received an anonymous tip about Josh and contacted authorities, Oprah fixed the problem, that Jim Bob officially spoke to police. By then, the three-year status of limitations on felony offenses in Arkansas had expired. No charges were filed. Josh Duggar faced zero legal consequences for harming five children, allegedly, four of whom were his own sisters. The public didn't learn a lot of it until about 2015, when In Touch Weekly published the FOIA-obtained police report. And here's a detail that tells you everything you need to know about how this system operates in practice. On May 21st of 2015, the same day that report was published, an Arkansas judge ordered all remaining copies of it destroyed. The institutional evidence of what had been done to those children was being legally erased in real time, because it's Arkansas. On this same day, the rest of the county was reading about it for the first time. Josh resigned from his position at the Family Research Council and the Christian Lobbying Organization, where he had spent 2 years campaigning against gay marriage and advocating for faith, family, and freedom as a public spokesperson. Then 1 month after 19 Kids and Counting was finally canceled over the scandal, the Ashley Madison data breach hit, and Josh Duggar's name was on it. He'd paid for an account on a website explicitly designed to facilitate extramarital affairs because he just couldn't help himself, while employed as a family values lobbyist, while his wife was home raising their children, while his parents were on television telling America how Christians were supposed to live. His public statement read in part, "I have been the biggest hypocrite ever. While espousing faith and family values, I've secretly over the last several years been viewing pornography on the internet, and this became a secret addiction, and I became unfaithful to my wife." He said it himself. He knew exactly what it was, and the family closed ranks around him anyways. In April of 21, federal agents arrested Josh Duggar on serious federal charges involving illegal contact depicting minors. Material downloaded onto a work computer at his car dealership. Does it surprise anyone he became a used car dealer? He had installed a hidden partition on the machine specifically to bypass the monitoring software his own wife had placed on the device to track his internet use. He was convicted in December of 21, sentenced to 12 and a half years in federal prison. He's currently incarcerated at FCI Seagaville in Texas. Earliest release 2032. And here's a fun note. While that was going on, while he was staying with a family friend for a little while before the trial and all that shit went down, I actually had found out the address of where he was staying with the family friend, and I Googled it. It was behind a Chuck E. fucking Cheese. I'm not kidding. I know, you can't make this up. After the 2015 revelations became public, Josh's cousin, Amy Duggar King, drove to the family compound and confronted him directly. She found him parked outside in an RV while his sisters were inside the house in tears. She told him that if he had ever tried to harm her, she would have called the police. Who? According to Amy's own public account, Josh Duggar's response was three words: I knew better. Huh. Well, that's spoken like a predator. I knew better. Meaning he knew who he could prey upon. He didn't mean he knew it was wrong and stopped himself. He meant he knew who was safe to victimize and who wasn't. He assessed, he calculated, he chose three words, the entire portrait of who Josh Duggar is, sitting right there in plain sight. And I think that's the problem with all the Duggars. They know better. Each one knows better in different ways. Not that all are predators. There's not. There's so many that are complete victims of their family. But they know better. They know better than all of us just how horrific and deplorable and disgusting and just vile some of their family members are. And some have certainly spoken out in books in certain ways. I think it might be time to go a little deeper, girls. You know, I know everybody made their tell-all books and it was, you know, might be time to like really lay it down and share the rest of the story. Because I think there's other chapters here that no one's aware of. I could be wrong. But if there is, if there's more, and those people are not exposed, well, it's, you know, protecting predators. And it's up to everybody how they want to handle this sort of thing. You know, how someone wants to get involved in the media the second you start saying something. I mean, I can't imagine wanting to do that. I don't blame anybody who's been preyed upon that says, you know what? Not for me. I've already been through this shit. I don't need to re-victimize myself. I can't handle it. It's okay to say that. There should be no shame in that whatsoever. It's easy for me over here, not having been victimized that way, to say, you know, maybe it's time to say more if there's more. I guess what I would say is this. If there is someone, if there is anyone within that family that has access to children that you know should not have access to children, it is incumbent upon you to say something. It is incumbent upon you to expose that, to protect those children, if it exists. I'm not accusing any other member of the Duggar family of doing this. I'm saying the odds are probably pretty high, statistically. But we don't know. It might just be these two. But if anybody knows more, and has got the evidence, those people need to be stopped because they will not stop on their own. And I highly doubt... Again, my opinion, I highly doubt it was the only time that fuckface number two over here did this. Here's a detail that should follow Jim Bob Duggar wherever his name appears in public disclosure, because it is one of the most staggering examples of documented hypocrisy in recent American political history. In 2002, the same year Josh Duggar was causing serious harm to female family members inside the Duggar home in Arkansas, Jim Bob Duggar was running for the United States Senate. And on his campaign website in the Q&A section, laying out his policy positions, archived and verified by multiple outlets, including Snopes, Jim Bob declared in writing that R and incest represent heinous crimes, and such should be treated as capital crimes. Capital crimes punishable by death. So anybody who's like, oh my God, earlier you said they should put the Duggar children to death. I'm following what Jim Bob has already suggested. Their own father has said this should be the punishment. And I agree, Jim. I agree. How do we get this into place? And how do we start enacting it? He campaigned on executing perpetrators of exactly what his son was doing in his own house at the exact same time. He promoted himself as the only true moral candidate in the Arkansas Republican primary. He knocked on doors on the platform. He asked people to vote for him on his platform, and he was simultaneously meeting with church elders about his son. Rather than calling the police, running out the statute of limitations clock and sending a teenager who had been harmed, who had harmed five children, to help renovate someone's house in Little Rock. Oh, looks like you're a predator. Hey, think you can do some mudding and taping over here on the drywall. Drywall the depravity right out of you. He lost the primary. His son remained very much at home, and the girls in that house had nowhere to go. And here's what else needs to be said, because the Duggar family did not operate in a vacuum. They had a partner in all this. It was called TLC. According to published reports, the network reportedly paid the Duggar family somewhere between 25 and 45 grand per episode for 10 seasons of television. They built a ratings franchise on the fundamentalist IBLP household and marketed it to America as wholesome family entertainment. One branding expert estimated the Duggars earned about $25 million annually when the revenue streams, the network deal, the endorsement, speaking fees, book deals were combined. When Josh's troubling history became public in May of 2015, TLC did not cancel the show. They pulled episodes from the schedule temporarily, waited out the initial wave of outrage, consulted with victim advocacy organizations for the optics, and then 6 months later rebooted the entire thing as Counting On, a spinoff focused on the older Duggar children. They kept filming, they kept paying, they kept profiting. Counting On ran on for 6 more years. It ended in 21, not because TLC made a principal decision, but because Josh Duggar was arrested by federal marshals. And the network no longer had a choice. They issued a statement, and they moved on. The network didn't cancel it because it developed a conscience. It canceled it because its product had become legally indefensible. For years, TLC has collected revenue from a show built on a belief system that silenced victims, glorified male authorities, and treated female submission as a virtue. And they marketed it as family programming. They didn't create the Duggar machine, but they absolutely funded it. Now, pull back, because this is where the story gets larger than one family. Bill Gothard, remember him? The man I talked about at the beginning of this, who started the cult? The man whose teaching shaped every aspect of how the Duggars raise their children? Well, he resigned from IBLP in 2014 after more than 30 women came forward with allegations of harassment and misconduct. A civil lawsuit alleged he had covered up serious harm to minors within his own organization. The lawsuit was dismissed on statute of limitations grounds. The same legal clock that shielded Josh Duggar in Arkansas shielded the founder of the organization that spiritually justified his parents' silence. After Gothard was pushed out, sources interviewed in the Amazon Prime documentary Shiny Happy People, Duggar Family Secrets, alleged that Jim Bob and Michelle stepped into the vacuum, encouraging IBLP followers to relocate to Arkansas, effectively positioning themselves as the movement's new standard bearers. Former family friends Jim and Bobby Holt said in the docuseries that Jim Bob and Michelle had become Gothard's replacement, encouraging people to come to IBLP and move to Arkansas. Bobby Holt called it a cult move. They did not walk away from the system that failed their children. According to those accounts, they took it over. And here's what that system looks like in its most devastating form. In June of 2015, Josh Duggar's sister, Jessa, one of the victims, went on Fox News and defended him. She told Megyn Kelly that calling Josh a predator was so overboard and a lie, really, She said he was a boy, a young boy in puberty, a little too curious about girls. She described what had been done to her and her sisters as mild and appropriate touching on fully clothed victims, most of it while girls were sleeping. She was a victim on national television, defending her abuser because she'd been conditioned to do so by her cult family, using language that minimized her own experience. Because the system she had been raised inside from the day she was born had given her no other framework for understanding what had happened to her. That is what the IBLP umbrella produces when it's working exactly as designed. That is what submission culture looks like when it is fully operational. The victims don't just stay quiet, they become the defense. Some of the Duggar children eventually found their way out. It took years and it cost them. Jill Duggar Dillard was the first to break publicly and the most honest about what it cost her. She described Jim Bob in legal proceedings as toxic and verbally abusive. She told Vanity Fair that she maintains only limited contact with her father and that establishing strict boundaries has become necessary for her mental health. She was the only Duggar sibling to participate in the Shiny Happy People docuseries. Her memoir laid out in detail the financial manipulation, the coercion, and what she described as 15 years of television under gridded by secrecy and lies. She said many of her siblings had since come to her privately asking how to make sure Jim Bob could not infiltrate or control their own marriages. Sounds like a lovely family you got there, Jim. He looks just as plastic in person as he does on television. Ginger Duggar Vuolo left IBLP in 2017. She wrote Becoming Free, Indeed, in 2023, calling the teachings wrong and describing a childhood faith built on fear rather than grace. Jim Bob reportedly disowned her at one point for wearing pants. She now lives in Los Angeles and said the IBLP's teaching left her crippled with anxiety and terrified of the outside world. Amy King, Jim Bob's niece, confirmed her estrangement from the family years ago. Her husband said it plainly, "The Duggars don't talk to us." After Josh's 21 conviction, Amy publicly called out Josh's wife, Anna, for staying, offered Anna's seven children a place to stay, and never heard back. Joanna Forsyth confirmed she and her husband distanced themselves from IBLP after a marriage. And were never formally involved with the organization. Those are not people who found it easy to leave. These are people who had been told from childhood that leaving the umbrella meant abandoning God, and they left anyway. It's not a small thing. When Josh Duggar stood trial in December of 21, Jim Bob Duggar showed up in the courtroom gallery. He sat behind his convicted son, Anna Duggar, who had given birth to their seventh child just weeks before the trial began, attended every single day. Jim Bob and Michelle's statement after the guilty verdict read in part, "As parents, we'll never stop praying for Joshua and loving him as we do all our children." Not a word about the victims, not a word about the children depicted in the illegal material Josh had downloaded and stored on hidden partitions of his work computer at his used car dealership. Just love for Joshua, prayers, God's grace sustaining them through the ordeal of having a son convicted on serious federal charges was in the Duggar family framing something that was happening to Jim Bob and Michelle, not something their son had done to other people's children. Now it's March of 26, and Joseph Duggar awaits extradition to Bay County, Florida. No attorney has been publicly identified. No statement has come from the family. His wife, Kendra, has not spoken publicly. Jim Bob and Michelle have said nothing. Investigators have not confirmed whether they believe there are additional victims beyond the girl who finally came forward after 5 years of carrying this alone. And according to reporting by Fox 5 Atlanta, Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar reportedly told authorities they were aware of the allegations involving Joseph and reportedly chose once again, allegedly, to handle the matter through the church rather than law enforcement. Internal counseling, not a phone call to police. If that reporting is accurate, again, I can't confirm it, but that's what allegedly they're saying over there. It's the second time. Same parent, same choice, same system. A different child paying the price for all of it. Isn't it nice? Shiny, happy people. Here is what this case is actually about. Underneath the mugshots and the affidavits and the charges, the IVLP system was not a footnote to the Duggar story. It was the architecture. It taught perpetrators they could seek forgiveness internally, privately, quietly, within the walls of the church, with no legal accountability. It taught victims that their worth was measured by submission, that speaking outside the family was the real transgression, that the umbrella would protect them as long as they stayed quiet beneath it. It taught parents that God's justice was sufficient, that church elders were enough, that a stern talk and some manual labor could cover what the law would have called a felony. And then it gave that family a television show, a network deal, a political platform, a decade-long national audience of millions of people who had no idea what was happening behind the matching outfits and the wholesome smiles. And the Duggars used every bit of it to stand in front of cameras and tell the rest of this country how to live, while reportedly knowing in their own home exactly what was being buried. A 9-year-old girl on a family vacation deserved better than a blanket, an apology, and 5 years of silence. She got a father who finally made the call. And if you know something about this family, if you were affected by these fuckers, it's time to speak up. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. It is. It is incumbent upon anyone, if they know that a predator is still in the midst of children, even if they no longer have young children of their own, if there's grandchildren, if there's nieces, nephews, whatever the hell there may be, if there is connection with small children, and you know that somebody has a propensity to do this sort of shit, and you've experienced it, and you've not called them out, and you're a grown-ass adult? Sorry. That is your responsibility at this point. And it's horrible that horrible things have happened to you. And I get not wanting to. But if you can prevent more people from being victimized by these monsters, because they will not stop, then is it upon you to call them out. We'll continue our conversation in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.